good thing about being in a series is you know where to turn in your Bibles. So it's always good. Colossians chapter 1. We're going to be starting in verse 9 today. We're just going to cover verse 9 through 14. So let me read that passage so we can start. Says, "And so from the day we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom and understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for all endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. He delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins." So we find this passage is a lot packed into this passage, but we're going to be talking about big picture living. So there were three sons who were working on a project for their dad. And their cousin came over to their house, and he wondered what they were doing. And so he asked the first son, "What are you doing?" And so the first son said, "I'm just measuring some wood." And he was confused, so he asked the second son, "Okay, what are you doing?" And the second son says, I'm just cutting wood." And he asked the third son as well, and he told the cousin, "I'm just laying that wood in a pile." So the cousin was still confused because he didn't know what they were doing. What was the project they were working on? So he went to the father and he asked him what was going on. And so the cousin says to the father, "I asked your sons what they were doing, and they each replied with measuring, cutting, and laying wood. What are they doing?" And the father answered, "They're building our new home." You see, sometimes seeing the big picture is crucial. For those three sons, they didn't see the big picture. They just saw their little job. And they didn't see that they're building something bigger. And they didn't step back and see the big picture. And a lot of times, we don't see the big picture working in our lives. We're so focused on some of the details that we don't step back and see it. Sometimes God doesn't let us see it. But overall view thinking, it helps you get some perspective, and it helps you really understand things better when you step back and take a look. And this understanding better encourages us and it motivates us to live differently and to live in light of grasping that master plan. So when he asked the three sons, they were just kind of like, "Oh, I'm just doing this, I'm just doing that." But imagine the motivation they would have if they realized that they were building their new home. They would be a little bit more motivated than they were. They're creating something bigger. And so today, as we continue our series, we see this importance, and Paul brings out the importance of really big picture living, big picture perspective. So last week we talked about the powerful work of the gospel, how the gospel creates this active faith. It creates growing and bearing fruit in the whole world, but also in the Colossians' lives. And so we heard about Paul, and he was praying for the Colossians, and he commends the work of the gospel in them. And so the text today is kind of a continuance of Paul's prayer for them. So last week, Paul was more giving thanks to God. "I'm giving thanks for what he's doing." And this week, Paul is asking for the more spiritual growth in the lives of Colossians. So when it comes to big picture living, what does it entail? Well, it first means to grasp. Uh-oh, Ed. You're in trouble. No, just joking. No. It means grasp God's plan. All right, there we go. So he starts out by continuing to encourage the believers that he hasn't ceased to pray for them. So ever since he heard from Epaphras about their faith, he hasn't stopped praying. He has cared. And so just in these two passages that we heard about, we see this importance of prayer. And as we've been studying in Sunday school, the importance of prayer. And really how prayer is effective in spiritual growth, how it's important. It's a necessity. And so, especially as new believers, Paul knew that they needed prayer. He knew that they couldn't continue as baby Christians. He knew that they had to grow. He also didn't want them to be swayed by these false teaching. So prayer would be important for that as well. And this passage tells us what Paul asked for. What does he ask for? And we notice that he doesn't necessarily talk about physical things, which we can, but he focuses on some of these spiritual needs that they have. Some spiritual growth. What does he want? What does he see as pleasing to God? And so he first talks about how that they may be filled with the knowledge of his will. So essentially, he prays that they may grasp God's plan. So grasping means I'm taking a hold of mentally. I'm understanding, I'm comprehending what I'm learning. I think of a teacher, and she's giving her lesson, and the whole time her kids aren't understanding. And finally, they grasp the lesson. They understand what's going on, and they grab hold of it. And remarkably, Paul states that he asks that God may fill them. So in this text, it shows us that God is this active agent who is filling the believers with knowledge. And so we need God to fill us with knowledge. So when we grasp God's truth, it is God working. It is God helping us do it. And so he works in our lives to help us understand God's word deeper and understand it better. So it's not merely through our own effort, which it does take effort, but it's not through merely our own effort. It takes God helping us to understand and know him more. So if you think about it, you can't really boast in your knowledge of the Lord because it's God who is filling you with knowledge. And so when I first read this passage, I thought Paul was going to say, I asked that God would fill you with knowledge of his will. Or I thought that he would just say, grow in knowledge. But he says knowledge of his will, and I thought that was interesting. Instead of just knowledge merely, but knowledge of his will. Now in this context, Paul isn't talking about God's will like we use it sometimes. And I think it's God's will to go to college or go to this college or that college. Paul's talking about bigger. He's talking about God's purposes. He's talking about God's plans. The whole revelation of God, it's God's really plan and purpose. It's what God desires in the universe, what he desires for each individual. So we should grasp God's plan in wisdom and understanding. You can do the next two can go up. Wisdom and understanding. So it talks about spiritual wisdom and understanding. And so this wisdom and understanding, they convey this ability to discern what is true and apply it to your life. So our knowledge of his will it's not only facts about God, but it understands understanding God's word, understanding some principles, being able to apply it to your lives, seeing the world in light of the truth. And both of these come from God because it comes from the Spirit. It talks about spiritual wisdom and understanding. It comes from the Spirit. Because there's a big difference between man-driven wisdom and understanding and God-driven wisdom and understanding. So how is your knowledge of God's will? Do you only know facts, or do you understand principles applied to your life? You know, we all know that person who can talk about facts of the Bible right off the top of their head, but sometimes they can't apply it to their lives. They don't grasp it and really see principles and truths in their lives. And that's what Paul's getting at, is are you grasping it? Is God filling you? Do you see his redemptive plan? Do you see the whole picture? Are you continuing to grow? Are you continuing to grasp it? Are you depending on God to fill you up with that knowledge? It means whatever situation I'm in, I can know what God desires. I can see the world in light of God's truth. And so the first part of big picture living is grasping the big picture, obviously. And so we see the big picture. And so knowledge of his will isn't an end in itself. It has a purpose. It's driving towards something. It's this foundation for living. So it's like those three boys who needed to understand the master plan. You can't live differently in light of the big picture if you don't know the big picture and understand it. So you have to have that foundation. So the second part of what it means to have big picture living is to have a lifestyle pleasing to God. So next slide. So we see the big picture, grasp it, and we have a lifestyle pleasing to God. So when you think of a lifestyle, I thought about this. When you think of a lifestyle, it means your typical way of life of someone. What is the typical way of life? So I think of a health nut. You know, we all know, you know, someone who's a health nut. We all know people who are that. And their healthy lifestyle affects everything that they do. So maybe they only eat organic food with no sugar and no fun, right? You know, no sugar, no fun. They work out regularly. They take care of their body. And their whole lifestyle is really, it's changed by something, and that's knowledge. So their knowledge of this healthy lifestyle, they really grasp it, and they really live it out. They do. And they know fatty foods and sugar are bad for them. They know not working out would be bad for them. So their knowledge is their base for this lifestyle. So they live differently because they really understand and they grasp the truth of what it is to be healthy and what is not. Now, some of us maybe think they went too far, but, you know, that's all right. But it is with us the same thing, but on a deeper, more spiritual sense, obviously, is that the more that I grasp God's plan, the more that I grasp it, the more my life will change. So the more that I grasp God's plan, the more my life will change. True knowledge of God's will transforms my behavior. As one author, Al Mohler, said that your spiritual maturity can only go as far as your knowledge of God. True knowledge transforms my behavior. So Paul asked them to be filled with the knowledge of his will. And he says, so as to, or that, or really for the purpose that, they would walk worthily. So God's plans and God's purposes is like the water and the sun that's given to a plant to help it grow. So it is with our lives. This knowledge, this understanding of his will is like what we need to grow, what we need to walk worthily. It drives that. And when the Bible talks about the term walk, it means to live. It pictures someone's lifestyle as this road that someone's traveling along. Think about Proverbs. It talks about this a lot. You know, you walk in the way of wicked. You walk in the ways of darkness. You walk in the way of the just. So you're living your life in this way. So they are to live in a manner worthy to the Lord, fully pleasing to him. So our lives should demonstrate who we are in Christ. So I think of a person in the military, and if they do something wrong, the military would say that they are guilty of conduct unbecoming of an officer. So they did something that would be not seen as appropriate for their position. And so as Christians, we are God's, we are his, and so we should live like it. We have this position in Christ, and so we should live our lives in accordance with the worth of God, with being worthy of the Lord. So it's like Paul is saying, you're a Christian, now live like it. And live in an appropriate way, pleasing to God. So show that you are his. Show that you are God's. Please him with your life. Now this pleasing God isn't in the deep sense of I'm trying to earn God's favor all the time. I'm trying to earn God's favor. Because if you're a Christian, if you think about it, you already have God's favor, right? You are a child of God, and nothing can separate you from the love of God. So in that sense, you have God's favor. You did not earn it. But it's more of the gospel's great. God is great. He saved me. So I want to live. I want to live in a manner that fits who I am now. I want to live that way. I want to please the Lord. I want to continue to please the Lord. So this walking worthy of the Lord isn't where we're left on our own to live up to our calling. And so we live in guilt and fear, feeling that God is never pleased. But as we saw in the context, it's God that fills us with knowledge of his will, which leads to living worthy of him. So it's like God is helping us. God is filling us with knowledge. He's helping us to live in a way that would please him. So you see the difference where, you know, it will be all on yourself to please him. And the other sense, God is helping us to live to please him. So just look at the distinction. So the first mindset of it all being on us, we would have, the first mindset is one of, okay, guys, get your act together. You need to please God or else. You know, that's not really the good mindset to have. But the other one is, look to God. Look to God to help you fill you with the knowledge of his will so that you can live in a way that's worthy of him. And so you want to please him more. You want to live differently. You want to learn more about him. You see, that's a big difference. Because on the one side, one of them, you live in guilt, you live in fear, you live in self-reliance, really. And the other one is, I'm depending on God, I understand his grace, but also there's loving obedience. I want to obey him, I want to love him and obey him more. So we walk in a manner that's worthy, but what does it look like? What does that life look like in the life of a believer? And Paul really shows us, and the first way that is that we're fruitful. So the first point that can go up there is fruitful. So we're bearing fruit in every good work. As we saw last week, the gospel just bears this fruit. We're growing in our faith. We're demonstrating it. Our faith is not dead. It's active. It's growing. We're loving other people. We're encouraging other people. We're helping wherever we can. So the Christian life does bear spiritual fruit, and you see that throughout Scripture. So the Colossians were to continue to do what God has already been doing. Remember last week, Paul saying, God is bearing fruit in you. And now here Paul says, continue to bear fruit. This is what a life looks like. Continue to do that. And so they were also to become more knowledgeable. So the second point that goes up there is knowledgeable. So they're to be increasing in their knowledge of God. So as I said earlier, knowledge leads to a godly life, leads to a lifestyle that is changing. So now increasing in the knowledge of God is a demonstration of that life. So the more that we grow, the more we want to know him, and we increase in our knowledge. And so it's like that cycle where we're being filled with the knowledge of God, living a lifestyle pleasing to him, and then increasing in our knowledge, and so we're continuing to grow. That's why it's important to be under God's word. That's why it's important to be in the services of the church, because it's one aspect of your growth. It's an important part of your growth is to be hearing God's word. Now, there's other reasons for us to be here, but one of them is so that you can grow. And you can learn more about God's plans. You can increase in your knowledge even more for him. So he desires for us to know him more. It pleases him. So what about your personal study time with God, in God's word? How's that going? I know it can be hard. It takes discipline in your busy life, because there's always something that pops up. There's always something to do, right? There's always something to tinker at your house, to tinker at your on your car in your yard, to do something in your family, to change diapers like we're doing. There's always something to do. But it's important to also have study of God's Word personally. So our knowledge and desire for Him should be really exuding out of us in love for Him. I think of a guy who likes a girl, and he wants to know more and more about this girl because he likes her. And so we want to know more and more about God. So knowledge and fruit are directly connected, because how would you live out your life in a way that pleased the Lord if you didn't know what pleased Him? Think about that. If you didn't know what pleased Him, how do you live in a way that's pleasing to the Lord? You have to know Him. You have to know what He desires. You have to know what He wants. Our living in a manner worthy also involves, letter C, being strengthened. Strengthened. So imagine running a marathon. That means 26.2 miles of pain and suffering. For some of you, like I said, health nuts, you would see it as fun and enjoyment. Trust me, it's not. I've never done one, but I've done like a mile or two, and it's painful. So I figure 26 miles is pretty painful. But imagine running a marathon, and afterwards you don't drink or eat anything. Your body would become very weak, right? You probably might even faint. But what you need is food and drink. You need to be strengthened by food. So you need to drink water. You need to drink Gatorade, vitamin water, whatever they have now. And you need to eat healthy foods. You need to replenish your body. You really need to strengthen it. And so God is like that food where He helps us and He strengthens us. He provides His might. So the Bible talks about here in He provides His glorious might, His power. So He provides the greatest strength possible to us because it's His glorious might. It's according to His glorious might. So that means the same strength that rescued the Israelites from Egypt is strengthening us to continue on. The same power that raised Christ from the dead is giving us power to make it through the next day. The same might that led the Israelites against their vast enemies is helping us to persevere in trials. Yet a lot of us don't think that way. But here it says, according to His glorious might. So think about all the ways that God has demonstrated His power in the world. But most of us don't utilize that strength. We have it there. So we often depend on our own strength to make it by. It's like if you're going to go against a huge army, and you're going to depend only on yourself to go against that huge army. All the while, you had this friend, and you could easily call him, and you would have millions of soldiers on your side to fight. And you even knew that this friend's army would completely obliterate the other army, but you don't do it. You don't reach out. So it is with our strength to handle life. We trust in our weak faculties to get by, not realizing or not using God's strength. Christian, you have a God who has glorious might, all-powerful might, the best and most powerful might. But why aren't you seeking it? Why aren't you looking out for it? Why aren't you asking for it? According to His powerful might, glorious might. And Paul shows us what this power is for and what the purpose is, and it's really for joyful endurance and patience. And we studied this a couple Wednesday ago where we talked about how James says, count it all joy when you encounter various trials. And as we see here, God is the one who provides the strength to get through trials. So trials are going to come. There's no way to get around it. We all encounter trials. But God provides us the strength to patiently endure it. And really, he says joyously, with joy. And our typical reaction to trials is to get away as fast as possible, to run away. But the Bible shows us that you can actually endure them patiently because of God's strength. So what's your response to trials that come? Is it to run? Is it to hide? Is it to cower in fear? Is it to go by it yourself? It's like, I can try to control this. I can do this. But the text shows us that we can confidently endure with joy. And why can we do that? As we saw in James, because the trials aren't purposeless. They're for a purpose. But we know also from this text that we have an unlimited supply of God's power available to us. We have God's glorious might. You have God's power accessible to you, but do you ask for it? Do you seek it? It's like if you had a bill from the hospital for $10,000 and you didn't utilize your health insurance, would pay for everything. That wouldn't make sense, right? That's what we do with God. We have all of this strength there available for us, but we don't use it. And going back to the knowledge of God's purposes that lead to this life, When we know God's plans, when we know God's purposes deeper, we realize we can have joy. We can be strengthened by His power because we know what He wants for us. We know this is what He wants for us to be complete and mature. We also know how big His might is. So when you get to know God deeper, you realize how even bigger than He was before, what you thought. You know what the purpose of trials are. You know you can be strengthened. You know you can have joy. So when you're going through an illness, when your family member is going through an illness or a death in the family, is there any joy? Is there any strength? Are you being strengthened by God's glorious might? And you don't get it from yourself. The strength doesn't come by looking down deep into yourself. It comes outside of yourself in God. It comes in His glorious might. And you find it by knowing God deeper, by trusting in Him, by resting in Him, by looking to the cross. Are you strengthened today by God's might? Because it's obtainable to you through your relationship with God. So a lifestyle pleasing to God is strengthened, but it's also, letter D, thankful. And we see that as the passage goes 12 through 14. A lifestyle pleasing to God is really thankful. We're grateful for all that God has done in our lives. I think of raising a child, and you see maturity when they start become grateful, right? So when they're really little, you have to always say, all right, say thank you. All right. You know what to say. Thank you. You know. But when they become mature, they should do it on their own. So they know, all right, thank you. Thank you. I'm grateful. So it is with spiritual maturity. We become more thankful to God. And Paul starts at the basis of our faith, and he talks about what the best thing that God has done for us to be thankful for, and that's our salvation. Our salvation is the best thing that He has done for us, and we can be thankful. So the text says He has qualified us for a share in the inheritance. So God has provided us, who were sinners, a way to be qualified. So essentially, a way to be worthy of belonging to the people of God. And we have a share in this inheritance. So we have something awaiting us, as we talked about last week. We have something awaiting us. But inheritance pictures back to the Old Testament times where the Israelites, they are each allotted a share of the land. So a share of the promised land, of the inheritance. And so now we as Christians were allotted the share in the full spiritual blessings that are coming. And the text says that he has qualified us. So not that he's qualifying us, but he, at the point of conversion, at the point of salvation, we are qualified for an inheritance. Again, it's God's working. He's graciously qualified us, even when we didn't have to, even when he didn't have to. He has qualified us. So he has delivered us from this domain of darkness, and he's transferred us into the kingdom of his beloved Son. So he rescued us. He delivered us out of the power and the sphere of darkness, that is, out of this realm of sin, of death, of misery, of destruction. And transferred me has this image of transferring one group of people from a country and transferring them into a different country. That's the image here of transferred them. He has transferred us. So now we're in the kingdom of his beloved Son. So we're in this realm where Christ rules and reigns. We're believers, where we are believers and we are under him. Before we were believers, we were in that realm of darkness. So we were living for ourselves. We were slaves to sin, under the power of sin, going down the wrong path. We were going down to destruction. But God, in his grace and his mercy, rescued us. Think about that. He has rescued you. He has delivered you from that. He has rescued us. And he has really torn apart the strongholds of sin like they were string, and opened our eyes and placed us in the best place possible, the kingdom of his beloved Son. Praise God. And this place is where Christ rules and he reigns and he loves us. A place of light where we are no longer slaves to sin. We are no longer in that realm of darkness where we are on our way to destruction. But now we are free from the bondage of sin. We can say, when temptation arises, we can say no. And we can say no because of Christ. Because he has redeemed us by the forgiveness of sins. He paid the price for our sins. He paid the price for your sin on the cross. He freed us, delivered us from bondage, and really forgiven us completely and finally on his decisive work on the cross. And this text just pushes us to utter thankfulness, where we praise God, we're thankful. Look what he has done. So a lifestyle pleasing to God is fruitful, knowledgeable, strengthened, and thankful. And all of those imply spiritual maturity. You're growing. And what we saw today was grasping God's plan leads to a lifestyle pleasing to God. Grasping his plan leads to this lifestyle pleasing to God. So do you desire to know God's purposes and plans more? What does your life look like? Is it pleasing to God? Is it in a manner that's worthy of the Lord? And if not, start at the foundation. Start about knowing God deeper. Ask him to fill you with this knowledge of his will. Begin to dive into God's word deeper. Come join us more faithfully in our weekly services. Be under the teaching of God's word faithfully. You see, because the Christian life isn't one of sitting at home and keeping your relationship with God to yourself. It's not shallow. It's living your life that's pleasing to God, living in this way that's worthy of him. So we're active, we're faithful, we're encouraging one another, we're seeking every opportunity to hear from him, to study him. And the Christian life is also, it's not about sporadic commitment. It takes effort. It takes faithfulness to grow. It takes time and commitment. Think about raising a child. They don't get spiritually mature like that. It takes time. It takes effort. It takes commitment and time. And at first, that sounds hard. Faithfulness is hard. Effort is hard. Commitment, it takes a lot of time and energy. It really does. But let me tell you what, it's worth every bit of energy and time. Because hard does not equate useless. Hard does not equate useless. It's worth it. The growth and the strength you receive is so much more than you can imagine. You can tap into God's strength and power. And it's worth it because you should want to please God. I want to please God with my life. Look at what he has done for me, as we learned about in the gospel of our salvation. And in doing this, we become more fruitful, strengthened, thankful, and knowledgeable. So how is your big picture perspective? Do you see the big picture? Do you recognize God's plans and purposes? And if not, maybe it's time to look at that big picture. See the importance of growing and living in your Christian life. And if so, are you growing from that perspective? Are you letting it to dwell deep down into you and change you? Does your grasp for God's plan lead you to this lifestyle that's pleasing to God? So what do you say? How about we strive for some big picture living? Let's pray. Dear Lord, we come again to you and we thank you for your word. We know that your word endures forever and it will not return unto you void. And I pray that the word that went out today was from you, and I pray that we would grow because of it. I pray that you would help us to grow in our knowledge of you, grow in our knowledge of your will and your desires, and help that to change us, help that to lead us to be more fruitful and thankful and just growing in our lives and knowing you more. We pray in Jesus' name, amen.
All right, it's time once again for our fellowship offering. So if we could have a couple of ushers come and take care of